Hello, this is my Lenten diary for March 4th, 2026. Today is Wednesday in the second week of Lent. This is a reading from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. When one of you has a grievance against another, does he dare go to law before the unrighteous instead of the saints? Or do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world is to be judged by you, are you incompetent to try trivial cases? Do you not know that we are to judge angels? How much more, then, matters pertaining to this life? Here ends the reading. Sometimes when I read the letters of Paul, I am surprised by the variety of issues he addresses with the various congregations he writes. In fact, I will frequently say to myself, "Hey, Paul, mind your own business." This is one of those occasions where, at first glance, it would appear the apostle is overstepping his boundaries. I mean, he's a spiritual teacher, not a lawyer, right? But my objection belies my enculturation. You see, I've been taught by my culture to believe that the church is a voluntary society, a really kind of benign nonprofit organization. And we become members of a church. And whenever our particular local congregation does something or many things with which we disagree, or when the pastor preaches a sermon we don't like, we just pack up our anger and our pledge forms and move along to another congregation. Paul saw connection with the church as enculturation into the body of Christ. And as such, it's not voluntary. With our baptism comes our connection, and the body of Christ is our primary identity, not an additive. So, to put maybe too fine a point on it, I am a Christian, a part of the body of Christ, before I'm anything else. Before I'm an American, a Wisconsinite, a Southerner, an Episcopalian, or any other label I wish to self-apply. And for Paul, since being a part of this body informs not just our devotional life, worship life, and prayer life, it informs all of our life. Every single aspect of our life is viewed through the lens of being a Christian. Thus, for Paul, to take disagreements with a fellow Christian into a secular court of law is not merely unseemly. It is an affront to our very identity. Once we understand this, it is easy to see why Paul would be horrified that these supposed super spiritual, super wise Christians at Corinth would air their dirty laundry in front of a secular court, which has no standing to judge the faithful. Now, before you get nervous, I'm not advocating that legal matters between Christians these days should be decided by the local congregation. Most of us would likely be uncomfortable with such an arrangement. But I do think Paul's teaching here raises significant opportunities for us to reflect upon how we view our connection to the body of Christ. Do we believe being a Christian is constitutive of who we are and how we are to live our lives? Or do we believe being a church member is a little like belonging to a voluntary devotional club which does occasional good deeds, and is merely a bolt-on to the rest of our lives? While most of us would not trust the local congregation to adjudicate legal matters between us and a fellow parishioner, would we ever consider asking the local congregation to help us discern an employment opportunity, or how we should serve the world beyond the doors of the church building? Would we ever seek out the congregation's wisdom on other life decisions? Or do we think all of those things are private and that the congregation is somehow superfluous to our decision-making processes? I'm not suggesting that I have the answers to those questions, but this passage has once again raised for me the ways in which we fail to grasp that for first century Christians, the congregation wasn't an option. It was the community in which one learned and practiced the way of Jesus. While we live in a much different world than Paul and the Corinthians did, our fundamental identity as the body of Christ remains the same. The question is, in our day and time, what does it mean for us to not only be, but to live like we are the body of Christ in and for the world? God grant us wisdom and discernment as we continue, however imperfectly, to seek the answer to that question. Let us pray. O God, whose glory is always to have mercy, be gracious to all who have gone astray from your ways, and bring them again with penitent hearts and steadfast faith to embrace and hold fast the unchangeable truth of your word, Jesus Christ your Son, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God, forever and ever. Amen.